Today we're going to be looking at a second installment. I mean, last week we started with the tongue being the very thing that can tear down the church. Pardon me. And for centuries has been tearing down the church. Because it is so easy to speak negative when something is put before us and it's not something we honestly may expect or it's something a little different than what we may have brought to the table. And rather than appreciating the realities that are there, we take offense. And it's my hope and prayer that we can begin to change that and see that it is through all of our differences that God uses us to become a better person. Okay? One of the greatest things that I have to tell people, and I tell people this all the time, whether you want to hear it or not, it doesn't matter to me, you're going to hear it again and again and again, is you ain't perfect. Get over yourself. I have, and I'm speaking of you, not me. Okay? None of us, not one of us, no, not one, seeketh God. It is only because God sought us that we have an even semblance to be here today. And that includes me. So it has to start with me, has to start with my attitude. And if you ask my wife, she'll tell you my attitude's perfect. What? My attitude is me. I'm still a work in process, right? We all ought to be wearing t-shirts that says, pardon my mess, work in process, right? We ought to all come with scaffolding and skirting so people stay away from us so none of our stuff falls on them and hurts them. Amen? But today we're going to look at how we begin to build that we can get that scaffolding around ourselves and help others build as well. Because today we're going to be talking about building that kingdom. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. And we are going to begin in chapter 5. And from there, we're going to build forward into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning in the 4th verse. Paul here is writing one of the epistles to the people in Thessalonica. And in this, he's telling these folks how to live their lives in Christ. Now, we already went over some of this in the Ephesians. As I said earlier, Ephesians is where almost everything I've ever preached comes from. Because it's where God has shown me to prepare his people. And why has God said to me to prepare you folks? You know, I think it's funny because we don't understand. What do you mean? What do I have to be prepared for? Well, how many of you have ever taken an exam? How many of you have ever been in school and you had a final coming up, right? Midterms, you know? Well, what do we do before a midterm? We cram, don't we? What do we do before a final? We cram the whole night before. We're up till late and we get up in the morning and we go to the test and we think we're going to do well. We're sleep deprived. We're so full of anxiety that we get in there and we read the first question and we don't know the answer and the question is name. Never been there, right? God doesn't want us to get to the end of life and not have the answers. God wants us to have the answers here now, and he wants us to begin using it prior to the exam, all right? Because we need to understand our life is the test. Every moment we are living is the test to get us through, okay? Have you ever seen those things that come up on TV and it goes, this has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. Our lives should come with that. We ought to have one of them that goes before us and one of them that goes behind us. You know, when the trucks are backing up, beep, beep, beep. We all ought to have one of them in our lives to warn people that we're coming. Because we are definitely dangerous in and of ourselves. Because we can hurt people, can't we? But God wants us to turn that around and let folks know that when we're coming to build them up. When people see us coming, do they run away saying, oh my goodness, here comes that crazy Christian? Or do they look at us and say, oh wow, here comes this guy of encouragement. I wonder what he's going to say today. You know, there are a couple people in my life, there are a couple people in our life that are like that. The greatest one that I know is one I consider my Joshua. That's Bobby Bolts. That man's always got a smile on his face and always a kind word to give to somebody, an encouragement, okay? That is one of his spiritual gifts. And it says if your gift is encouraging, then encourage. And Bobby does, okay? But we need to understand that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are to be encouragers. We are to be children of light, and light draws us to it. All right, so let's see what God has to say. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 11 is where we're going to be. It says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. So that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. We are children of light. We are to live in this day. Okay? When we think about where the world is in darkness. The world does not see because they are darkened to the things of God. But we are children of the light. We can see things plainly for what they are. We see bad, we see good. When you see bad, don't go around telling everybody about it. They know it's there. Believe me, they're thinking the same thoughts you are. But let us bring the light of Jesus Christ into every one of those situations. Let us be the encouragers that speak of the day, that look to the coming of the light in the people who are in need. It says in the scriptures that you know, when we talk about Christmas time, okay, it's Lent, right? And I'm going to talk about Christmas. It says in the scriptures that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And that was talking about the light of Christ coming into the world. In our lives, when we're coming into someone's life, when we are getting ourselves out there into this world, do people see a light coming or do they see more darkness? Because if Christ is in us, then they should be seeing a great light coming into their lives. How do we become that great light? Through words of encouragement, through the utterances of life. When you see something good, report it. Let everybody know. The world is so full of negative stuff, we don't need to hear it anymore. We all get it 24 hours a day. Turn on the TV, turn on the news, turn on your neighbor, turn on the guy standing next to you. You know, everything's negative. But when something good happens, how quick are we just to look at it and say, oh, okay, and then walk away, rather than emulating it, rather than lifting it up, okay? I have a brother here who has told us many times that when he would hear somebody say JC in a bad manner, he would lift up the name of Christ, okay? They would throw it down, he would pick it up, all right? We should be doing that every time we hear a negative thought, every time we hear a negative action. When somebody speaks bad about somebody else in the body of Christ, we need to pick that person up. We need to pick that situation up and remember that we're here to build, not to tear down, okay? But we're here to build in a good manner. Because if you are speaking bad things, you are building. You're building walls. You're building walls that harbor you off, because I hate to tell you this, but people, we don't want to be around negative people, do we? We want to be around positive people. So we wonder why people pull away. Well, it's because we're building with bad building blocks, okay? You know, your Lincoln logs have termites, okay? Throw them away and get some Legos and let's start building good stuff, all right? And I think Ollie sells them cheap. I'm not sure. Root got it. And God sells the cheapest of all. It's free. The love of God is free. Do you get my pictures? I'm really trying to paint some pictures here for you. I'm not a very good artist, but you know, I hope somebody's getting it. Because God's telling us here that, you know, our world is asleep. Our world is dead, because that's another way of saying dead, right? Our world is dead. It's asleep. It doesn't see Christ. Our world is drunk. Our world is so drunk on the things of Satan, on the things of the evil one, that when you look at it, it looks like an orgy is going on. And I don't mean a sexual one. I'm talking about a debauchery that is just out there. Think about what Moses saw when he came down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. And here were those people dancing and partying, and they had this idol there. And they were the people of God. Well, we're no different. We just don't have a golden calf in front of us. We need to remember that the Word of God lifts us up. The things of this world tear us down and bring us into a darkness, bring us into a stupor, bring us into a sleep that God can't even begin to move. Because God will not force Himself upon us. Amen? But God will work through us for the edification of one another. In the scriptures here that we're reading from Thessalonians, he tells us that we're to encourage each other and to build each other up. And then I love what Paul adds in here, because he says, just as you are also doing, right? So it sounds like, well, gee, we're just fine. We're already doing this. No, he was using that as a way of saying the good thing that you're doing, do it all the more. But get rid of the bad stuff. Remember, you're still doing the bad stuff, but do the good stuff. Because as we are doing the good, as we are encouraging one another and building one another up, we are seeing that God's promises are coming into our lives. We are seeing, you know, it's so amazing to me. You know, I was talking to Terry earlier, all right? And all of us know this. When you eat something, it does something to you, right? Okay? So you become what you eat, all right? If you are eating nothing but negativity, what are you becoming? Negative. Negative, okay? If all you are spewing out is negative, what do you think people think of your inside? Negative. So if you are bringing forth goodness, grace, love, mercy, kindness, gentleness, patience, and peace, fruits of the Spirit, you're bringing forth Christ. And do you think people are going to want to be around you? I think it's so funny, because when you speak words of encouragement, okay, if you have 10 people in front of you and you speak words of encouragement to those 10 people, what's going to happen to those 10 people? They're going to get built up, aren't they? They're going to smile and they're going to be happy. Guess what comes back to you? Tenfold the power that you just sent out. Tenfold. Okay? It's the principle of the sowing of the seed. What you sow forward, you get back. So if I sow into 10 lives, I get 10 times back what I have sown. Think about that. God's saying, build up the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. We pray it all the time. Thy kingdom come. What do you think it's going to be like when we get to heaven? We're all going to stand around and say, can you believe that? Did you see what Peter did? We're going to be standing around praising God. We're going to be worshiping Him on such a basis that all of our lives, I mean, read the scriptures. It says that when they moved as a whole assembly. So when one person says hallelujah, how many other people say hallelujah? Everybody, simultaneously. I mean, we are going to be so connected to the Spirit of God and His holiness that none of us are going to have any thought outside of God's thought. How's that working for you right now? How many of us have God thoughts every moment of every day? How many of you want to have God thoughts every moment of every day? Oh man, I know I do, but to do that, we've got to retrain ourselves, don't we? We cannot continue in the same manner and expect different results. That's called insanity. So if your life is messed up and you see all this negativity around you, start getting happy. Okay? I tell Christians all the time, you walk around and you say you're happy, you say you're happy, you say you're happy, tell your face. Please, tell your face. Okay? Because most of us have enough Christianity to be miserable. We know we're saved, but it just isn't right. Well, God's working on you. You're still a mess. So am I. Each and every one of us are. But what are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself that I am an heir to the kingdom? No evil can overcome me. Nothing is in the way that God doesn't bring into my life to transform me. Everything that I'm going through is for the glory of God and the goodness of the change and the transformation that He's going to do in me, because the evil one can't touch me without God knowing what's going on, so that I can become the image of Jesus Christ on this earth. Sorry about that. I'll give you a towel next week. I'm telling you, we need to get pumped up about this stuff. You know, Miss Sally started us here, and when she sent me that video, I was in my office. I was doing jumping jacks. I won't say somersaults, okay? But I was just so pumped up. Do something. I wish the church would do something. We come in, we sit on our laurels. And then we say, well, somebody's got to do something. And I love what that guy said. I loved how he did. God says, I did. I made you. Wow. Do you know what he just said? Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now go. With those words, what did he do? He passed all that authority, all that power, all, not some, all to us. What are we doing with it? Are we going to build each other up? Are we going to look at who we are and who we can become and who others can become? I think it's so amazing because, Miss Sally said it, and everybody look at the top of your bulletin. Everybody look at the top of your bulletin. What does it say there on the top of your bulletin? Oh, I just love this. This gentleman is just, he's walking in the Spirit. He says, we are not saved merely for our own benefit, but to serve Christ and build up the church. The church looks at itself and says, I'm saved. I don't need to do anything else. I'm telling you right now, if that's your mantra, you ain't saved. You don't know Jesus Christ. You've said some words. If your mantra is not, I am saved, therefore I must go, I must love God, I must love others, I must go, you don't know Christ. He gave us three commands. The first is to love God, the second is to love others, and the third is to go. Well, if we're going to love God, that means we're going to worship. We're going to raise God up. We're going to come together just like we did today, and we're going to lift the roof right off of the house, because God doesn't need roofs. And then we're going to lift each other up. We're going to speak those words of encouragement. And I'm going to tell you right now, every person in this room is broken in some way, manner, or form, and every one of us needs a word of encouragement. Can I get an amen? Amen. And God is here in us to bring that word of encouragement. It's not for me to go to every individual. That's why I asked earlier that, you know, when this song is open, if you feel the need to go out and touch somebody, you need to go. Several of you went, praise Jesus, because that's how the church works. We need to go and touch somebody else. And when we touch that life, then we've empowered that life to go touch somebody else. And touch somebody else, and touch somebody else, and touch somebody else. You know, Miss Leslie has this wonderful song that we all love to sing. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And we saw that in the video, didn't we? A little fire, and then all of a sudden, boof! What would happen to the Church of Jesus Christ? What would happen to the heart of Christ Church if we all took that fire, that little spark, and we allowed God to fan it into flame, and we all came together, those little embers, those little sparks, we would be a fire so great that nothing could stop it. You could call the fire company right over here. How many times we hear the fire alarm go off, right? You know, it should be going off right now because the Holy Spirit is definitely in this place. And we need to take that Holy Spirit out of here. We need to use that Holy Spirit in here. For what? For the healing of the body of Jesus Christ. For the healing of the nations. Do you understand that you are the healing of the nations? You. Me. All of us together in Christ who claim Christ. We are here to heal one another, to lift each other up. Why aren't we doing it? We see a brother hurting, we see somebody who needs help, and we look at him and we say, oh, that poor person, I'll pray for you. And then we go. When we see that person, we need to go to them, pray with them, pray for them, ask them what they need. Change their life by entering it. That's what we're here for. It was said in the time of the Romans, during the plague, the Black Plague was rushing through Rome, and Nero actually left Rome because the people were dying by the tens of thousands, and everybody was fleeing. This was the time of the great persecution of the church. And during that persecution, the only people who stayed in Rome, in fact, they went into Rome, were the Christians. And Nero said, who are these people? The Roman governors and the Senate and all those who had left Rome, who had abandoned Rome, and all the people who were sick. And please believe me, some of those people who were sick and dying were of that echelon. That was the upper echelon in Rome, because the plague doesn't care who it touches. I hope you're getting the similarities here with our world. Evil does not care who it touches. Goes from the least to the greatest, from the greatest to the least. But who was there in the mix? Who was coming into it? Perfectly healthy people going into this. The Church of Jesus Christ. Many of them died taking care of those who were dying. But we know those who did die went on to glory, amen? Those who were in Christ. There's a world around us dying. It has the plague of sin, the plague of evil, the plague of darkness. Are we going to go into that? And are we going to give ourselves to Jesus Christ and be the words of edification, lifting up this world, lifting up these people? Do you know, right now, I wish Mitch was here, but Mitch has some Gideon things that he's doing all this month. So God bless him, and please keep Mitch in your prayers, because he's doing a church. He's going out to different churches and speaking about the Gideons, and he's also got some Bible distribution that he's doing. But Mitch spoke here just the other week. He told us about a young girl who put her own suicide. She filmed her own suicide and put it on Facebook live while she was doing it. You know, she couldn't put it on after. It was live. What would have happened if somebody would have reached out to that young girl and gave her a word of encouragement rather than what the world gives, which is tearing down? The gentleman who flew to California 3 times to jump off the bridge. And the third time he finally did. He was literally crying out for somebody to speak to him, for somebody to give him a reason to hope. Do you have the reason to hope inside of you? Is the Holy Spirit inside of you through the power of Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary? Then you have what this world needs. You and I have everything that this world needs. And as we build each other up, it's not just to be in the church. We are to take it outside of here and begin building up those people around us. We need to take it to work. And when the girls are in the back room and we're having lunch and we're talking down, we're talking smack on people, but you need to pick up every one of those people and say, yeah, but did you know that they are trying so hard? And, you know, I'm just so grateful for them in my life. But we don't want the chastisement to come on us. Well, you know, yeah, you're just so, aren't you? No, I'm not. But they're that much, and they need loved too, and so do you. Because right now, the negativity that you're giving is going to tear you down, and I just want to build you up. You're a wonderful person. Man, turn that. You know, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And we want you to turn that frown around and start smiling and let the heart change. Become good. And how does that happen? Through introducing people to Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of folks are going to tell you no. That's their prerogative, isn't it? But let us not be afraid. For they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting Him. And also, we have no idea what seeds we may be planting. We have no idea what seeds may already be planted that we are beginning to nurture. Okay? Jesus says in one of His parables that the master comes and he sees the fig tree and there's no figs on it, which means God planted the tree initially. It's His tree. And the gardener says, no, 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 master, don't cut it down. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. And if it doesn't bear fruit next year, then take it down. We need to be the one protecting that person. We need to be the one. We need to be that gardener getting in there and digging around it, which means what? If you're going to dig in the ground and put manure around it, you're going to get dirty. There's nothing wrong with a little dirt, all right? It washes off. I've been cleansed in the blood, in the power-changing blood of the Lamb. When we get washed in the blood, nothing sticks. It's better than Clorox. And we need to remember, we're to get into the muck and the mire. Didn't Jesus get into the muck and the mire of our lives? And He pulled us out of it. He sucked us right up out of the sewer and brought us to glory. Second point. I belabor things, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here. I'm going to run out of time. Turn into your Bibles to Ephesians, because I want you to understand our good words also affect those who are listening to us. Okay? When we are edifying a brother or sister, our good words will affect those who we're not even talking to, who are listening. Okay? And if you don't think people are listening, you got another thought coming, right? How many times are we talking to somebody over here and there's five other people standing around and they're eavesdropping, right? No, they're just in earshot. They're not being, you know, eavesdropping has that sense of something bad, all right? But if we're edifying, I'm edifying Miss Amy. If I'm saying, oh, Miss Amy, I'm so proud of you. You are really, just all this good stuff. It's just gushing out of me, right? How many people are around you that can hear what I'm saying? Right now, there's about 15, 20, 30, depending on how loud I am, 50, right? What I'm saying to you is going to affect those 50 other people. That's God's principle. That's God's precept. He plants in fields that He has not sown. Because I'm sowing into Miss Amy, but there's other fields that are getting the same seed. From the book of Ephesians. Now I got to turn there, I'm sorry. From the book of Ephesians. Oops, one more chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 29. From verse 29, it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Whenever we speak a word of encouragement, whenever we speak a building up word, it not only affects the person to whom it is directed, but it affects all the hearers around. Okay? When you are giving someone accolades for something they did, when you are lifting a person up, it makes everybody around feel good, that there is something good happening. And in that good, it changes lives. It transforms. Several times in the scriptures, it says, in fact, one of them very famously says, that we will save our hearers as we give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? We need to understand the conversation I may be having with someone else, but the hearers also reap a benefit. Because what can be said bad against us if all we are doing is bringing good? Think about that. If there are 12 people standing there and you're talking to one, and all these 12 people have this idea about you or have a thinking about you, and you're lifting this person up, you're raising this person up, can any one of those 12 people speak anything bad about you? Now remember, this is not for our benefit, but for whose benefit? The benefit of others, for the benefit of Christ. So please make sure that you bring the word of Christ into it, that God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, all right? I mean, it's that easy to encourage somebody and bring the word of God, because now those other people have heard that, and guess what? It applies to them too, doesn't it? And it's called edification. Boy, that's a big word, but it's a simple little process. Because as we edify one, we edify the many. All of us want fed. Amen? How many of us are hungry at least 3 times a day? Right? We all want fed. What are we going to feed with? And that becomes one of the questions. What are we going to feed with? Are we going to feed with love and grace and compassion? Or are we going to feed with that other junk? Let us not bring unwholesome talk into the thing, but let us speak. Oh, and I love that. See what it says there about the moment? I love that. It says in verse 29 there, such a word as is good for edification or according to the need of the moment. What does that mean? That means get real. Okay? Get real. If Ruth Ann is hurting because someone has said something bad or something has happened, okay, she got a bad medical report and she's feeling bad, okay, I need to speak into that need. I don't need to speak over here, okay? I don't need to speak about something else over here. I need to speak into what Ruth Ann needs to hear today, this moment, right now. Be real. Get in that moment. Get in that person's life. Connect. You see, this is one of the things that we don't do in the church. We don't connect. We'll speak generalities. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'll pray for you. And off we go. No, we need to get real. We need to, this needs to be a sit-down cup of coffee. Do you know what I mean? I'm willing to invest. I'm willing to invest. I think it's so funny because I get phone calls all the time. Pastor, do you have a minute? Well, if I really wanted to answer that, I'd say no. There's only 24 hours in the day. There's 60 minutes in every hour, 60 seconds in every minute. I don't get any extra ones. Okay? That's the way it works. But the moment that phone call comes in and I'm talking to you, you are my world. How many of us are plugged in like that? You know what I hate? You know what I hate? When you're having a conversation with somebody, you're plugged in. I'm all in, right? Texas Hold'em of life. I'm all in. And I'm expecting you to be all in. But I find out you're holding out on me because the cell phone rings and you say, oh, just a minute, Pastor. Hello? Really? Really? You just told me that I am of no import to you. You just sent negative information my way to the point that you've hurt me, literally hurt me. You know, one of the things I hate, and I think all of us should hate, because it's not about us, it's about, and He wants us to love Him and love. So why, when that cell phone rings, when I'm, oh, and one I love the most is when you're actually on the phone with somebody. You're on the phone with somebody, and you're talking, and you're talking, and all of a sudden they say, oh, can you hold a minute? I got another call coming. Blip. Do you know what I do? Hang up. You want to talk to me? Now you'll call me. That's not being rude. That's making a point. We need to understand that when you're with somebody, when somebody is in your world, man, they need to be your world at that moment, and you need to be their world. We can't have half measures. Did Jesus give a half measure on the cross of Calvary? Did God give a half measure in salvation? We need to give in the same way. Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't say pick up the top crossbar. He said the whole thing. Pick it all up and follow me. We got to remember, Jesus is also carrying His cross. He carried it the whole way. All right? Now, it amazes me because when you think about Jesus carrying His cross, what happened about halfway through? This is part of my point. What happened? He fell. He needed help. How many of us need help carrying our cross? If the Savior of the world needed help carrying His cross, and He was okay letting somebody else carry His cross, how much more do we need to understand that we need to have somebody there to help us carry our cross? We need each other. We need each other. The world needs us. Because number one, we know where to take that cross, don't we? We know where to plant that cross. We plant that cross firmly in the Word of God, firmly in the salvation of Jesus Christ. We plant it in Him. And He brings that person to life. We need to understand, Jesus didn't just do these things. There's reasons for everything that happened in His life, everything that He shows us. God brought through Him the reality of Word spoken, Word lived. Because He is the Word. And He's alive in each and every one of us. And we need to let that Word out. I'm telling you right now, we need to get to the go part, okay? You know, we know the love of God, right? We can get in here and on Sunday mornings and during the week, you know, I get in vehicles with some of you and turn on the radio, and it's Christian radio, and we're praising God, and I'm like, oh my Lord, shut that thing off. Because I can't think when the radio's on, right? I can't do two things at once. I can't talk to you and listen to the radio. Because the whole time I'm talking to you and listening to radio, I also have to breathe. You know, and three things is impossible for me. And I can't quit breathing. I'll die. So the radio has to go, right? But it's so amazing to me because we will worship God, and we will worship God, and we will worship God. We'll try to love others, right? We're getting there. We're getting there. But that go thing, we kind of got a stickler on that. I'll let them come, Lord. How's that? Those who come to me, wrong. Wrong. We've been together now 4 years. How many people have come? A few. Where are they? Look around. Do you see them? There's a reason, because we have not gone into their lives. We need to go. We need to go into the lives of those around us. Because God went. Where did he go from? He went from heaven to earth. And now resides in us. God goes all the time. We need to go too. Because as we are giving that good word, not only will we help heal those who are in need, but those who are listening. And the last point that I want to give you, we're going to end this puppy. We're going to land this plane. Of course, it may take me 20 minutes to do that. I hope not. Is Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. You know how I can tell God loves coffee? I didn't need to say anything, did I? Oh, my. Hebrews 10. Beginning in the 24th verse and reading through 25. This is something that I hope that each and every one of us... In fact, we're going to go back to 19. We're going to go back to 19. I want to read it 19 through. From 19, verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 19. Because we need to understand the very things that I just spoke to you about Christ and who He is and what this affords us needs to be in there as well. It says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, remember that the only person who could enter the holiest of holies was who? The high priest. I was looking at one of my confirmands to see if they got it, okay? And he did. I'm proud of him. All right? The high priest. Why was he only the high priest allowed to go in? There we go, because he was chosen by God. All right? See, they're getting it. They're getting it. Their faith is becoming their own, their understanding. We have been chosen by God. We are a royal... Oh, man, the goosebumps are up. We are a royal priesthood. In the order of Melchizedek. We need to understand that each one of us has the right to go into the Holy of Holies. To look full in the face of God and live. Let's move on. By a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit of God having washed over us, taken away all the dross, having moved out all the sin. And that is the same thing we need to do with everybody else. We need to remember. How many of you have ever seen the old Mr. Clean commercials? You know, the guy wearing all white? That's us. And we need to get out there and we need to start helping people clean up their messes. And in the process, God will help clean up our mess. Because we're still a mess, aren't we? We still have problems, don't we? But it's as we are moving in our faith, as we are helping to build up the kingdom, so too is God going to build us up as we move in and through others' lives, that they will actually help us get cleaned up. How many times have you done something good for somebody and you left there thinking, wow, I got more than I gave? That happens to me all the time. That's the principle of God. By the measure you use, poured out from heaven, God says, I will pour it back unto you. We got to remember, if I'm pouring out all of my heart and God's pouring out all of His heart, who's getting more? Me. But I don't do it for me. I do it so that as I am filled, then I can go out and do it again. Amen. And that's what it's all about. Moving on. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. We know the end is coming. Jesus told the people when he left that the end was coming. From that day till this, we are anticipating the end coming. And one way or another, the end does come, doesn't it? Whether it be the rapture or the end of our lives, the end does come. But we are not to shrink back, but we are to hold fast until that great and fateful day. And we are to continue in that word of edification, lifting up, raising up one another. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you have poured out into lives around you, in your hour of need, what's going to happen for you? As you have done, so too shall it be brought unto you. You shall reap what you sow. Let us sow goodly and plentifully, okay? God hates a stingy sower. He has more seed. Just ask him for it. And he will pour it out into your lap that you can pour that seed out. He doesn't care if it's an inch thick and a mile wide, all right? What he cares is that you put that seed out. He'll bring it to fruition. How do I know that? God says, my word will not return void, but it will accomplish the goal to which it has been set forward. So if we take God's word, and I'm going to tell you right now, does that mean, Miss Amy, you're sitting up front, so you get picked on today. Miss Amy, do you have to know every word of Scripture? Do you have to know book and chapter? How about verse? We should, right? But everyone? No. I hate to tell you this. I don't know them, all right? I hate to tell you this, but most of the ones that I use, I don't even remember what book they came out of, okay? It's horrible. But the reality is I have stored it up in my heart, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him unto that day. To the glory of God, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Ask me where that is, I can't tell you. I know it's in there. It's pregu. It's in there. And it's real. I don't know book. I don't know chapter. In fact, if you look it up, I probably said a few words wrong. Do you think God cares? Did I just speak God's word from my heart to your heart? Yes. If I speak it in context, amen? You know, when Jesus replied to Satan, he didn't say, well, it is written in the book of Leviticus. No, he just answered him. He said, it is written that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that cometh from the mouth of God. He didn't say book, chapter, verse. He simply gave him the word. You know the word. Give the word. Give the people the truth. Okay? Give them what you know. Give them what you believe. Give them your testimony. Isn't that the greatest thing that you have? I want you to think about that. How many of you have been through some difficult crap? Do you think God doesn't want to use that in your life to help somebody else get through their stuff? He helped you get through it. Iron sharpens iron, okay? He does not use a wooden branch to sharpen a knife. He uses another piece of iron to sharpen it. And we need to remember, we're that iron. How do we know that? Because God uses for us everything that has happened in our lives to the betterment of His glory. Because as He has blessed us, so too are we to be a
blessing.
Amen. We need to build one another up. We need to encourage one another because the time is growing short. For some of us, the time is far shorter than others. Amen? But in reality, as we look at time overall, it's coming to an end. Would we be the church and reach out and touch someone? Today, as we close, let us close in a word of prayer and let us check our hearts and let us understand that we can build the kingdom of God as only God can build it through us by edification and not by condemnation. Amen. Gracious Father, as we come to our invitation of prayer, Lord, we just ask that you would move in our lives, that you would give us the hope of glory, and that you would seat us in the heavenly realms here on earth, Lord. And we are already there in Christ Jesus. But may we be not so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. May we remember that we are to do something here, now. And that means talking about you, talking about the good things, helping people to understand the evil one is telling lies. And we need to bring truth, love, compassion, grace, and mercy. For we have received it ourselves. And to that, Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.